The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Her husband was a retired gynecologist, and she told me when she got it together, I haven't liked my husband for 25 years, you know. And she said, and I now know it was me and not him.
Wow.
And she really was lamenting the loss of time.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
He showed up 2 weeks later and said, you know, before we get started, I just want to thank you for giving me my wife back.
Dr. Terry Denai explains how an imbalance of hormones can wreak havoc on your life next.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here today. And I think you're going to be so glad you're here today, too, because we have Dr. Terry Denai with us, who is a leader in the field of hormone health and wellness. With years of experience transforming lives, she's on a mission to demystify the complexities of hormonal balance in her new book, Hormone Havoc. Dr. Terry, I'm so glad you're here. I've had so much fun talking to you before the show even started, because you are a girl that is filled with information and really, really good stuff. I have studied you before you came on the show, and I wrote down probably a million different questions, and I've tried to like condense them down to a few.
Yeah.
So I think today's gonna be really, really good. It's been so good for me already. But let's start up at the top. Let's talk about hormones and why they're the foundation of living well.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and that is a great question. And it's one of biggest things people don't understand about hormones, that the receptors for hormones, so when there's a receptor on a cell, that means something has to attach to it to do a job, right?
Okay.
Are literally in every single cell in the human body, head to toe. So it is foundational to everybody's system. The word hormone in the Greek actually means to impel, to urge, to move on, to cause, to be active, right? So the meaning of the word itself kind of explains how important it is for every single system in the body. Heart, cardiovascular, bone, skin, gut, brain especially, and the list goes on and on, every single.
So it affects everything, about our well-being, whether it's our anxiety, depression, brain fog, focus, happiness. It affects everything.
Energy, pain, sleep.
So when do we start losing that? You know, like, I mean, I've learned as I've gotten older at 56, you know, like, gosh, at 30, maybe some things started depleting. At 40, even more. At 50, I'm like, what do I do now? I'm without. And I think so many of our worlds feel upside down, and we don't know how to get our life back. And so many times I've gone to the doctor, too, and I've gotten a quick fix, but I don't feel like it's really fixed me or taken care of things, but it's maybe masked something or just temporarily. And I don't know that medicine was always meant to be temporary as much as it is, like, let's get to the root problem here.
Yep.
Okay, if somebody feels like their life is upside down, what steps can they take to find wellness again?
Yeah, so you said a lot there, and you said a lot of really important things. One is, when does this start? How do I know something's going on hormonally? And it's a little different for women than men. In women, it typically starts after that second baby. Actually, no matter the age, we tend to not really bounce back. Our testosterone decline happens quite significantly after a second child. But then for women, that's the first hormone that goes. And a lot of women don't even realize that their ovaries make testosterone. They've heard about estrogen and progesterone probably, but not testosterone. So testosterone is the first hormone that starts to decline in women, and that typically starts in our 30s.
Okay.
And then in our 40s, progesterone starts to decline. And of course, we all know about in our 50s is when we have that estrogen decline. And for men, it's a little bit slower. Men tend to start to decline normally in their 40s. And by the time they're 50s, they're feeling that testosterone being low. But interestingly, we're seeing more and more hormone issues in younger people today. It has a lot of root causes.
Yes.
A lot of it's food. A lot of it's just our, you know, our our environment and just the information that's constantly coming at us and melatonin levels, and there's just a plethora of things. But by and large, just the average, those are about the ages. And it can feel like everything you've just said, depression, moodiness, anxiousness, can't sleep, can't focus. For men, it's, you know, losing the desire to do the things they love, like fishing, golfing, whatever it is. And for women, it's the biggest one probably, and this is what I did my doctoral work on, is depression. Many women just feel depressed, and they'll say, I don't have a reason. I have a great life. I have a great family. I don't know why I feel so sad all the time. And then they'll go to their regular practitioners and maybe get a Band-Aid fix, like an antidepressant or a sleeping pill or an anxiety pill. And that's really just a Band-Aid to fix a symptom. And you're right. You said something really important. You said, I don't think we're meant to stay on all these medications.
Yes,
you know, it's not fixing. We're not deficient in, you know, a Xanax or something like that. But those medications typically were meant for a temporary stopgap solution until you figured out the root cause of the problem. And that's what's missing in a lot of the diagnostic things today, is just finding the root cause. We just kind of go on a medication and we stay on that for years, and that's just kind of it.
What about the myths? Okay, myths and facts. I love that you talk about a lot of that in your book. This is such a great book, by the way. It is filled with so much information, and I'm telling you, there's stuff I would start reading through these different chapters and thinking, okay, I got to read this four or five times to really get this and to understand it, but it's so good.
Thank you.
Because we could spend hours online, and I'm telling you, it's not always the right information. So when you have a doctor that has put time into the research of this, you have had years of study in this. And when you put it in a book form, it's all in there. You talk about facts and myths, and there's a lot of them, and stuff that I didn't even know, to be honest with you. Maybe my generation, I didn't know a lot about hormones, even in my 30s and 40s.
Right. Wasn't well, our moms didn't talk about it. That generation didn't talk about it.
That's right. And so I didn't even know until I hit 50. I'm like, what's progesterone and what's estrogen? And how does this, do I need testosterone? Yes. I'm a woman. Like, do I need it? So do we need it?
Yeah. So women, you know, make testosterone just like men in the ovaries, but obviously not near as much. So it's about 10% of the production that men make, so a little bit goes a long way for females.
Okay.
But, you know, that's one of the biggest myths, is that, you know, testosterone's a male hormone and estrogen's a female hormone. Men actually make estrogen as well, and they need it in a small amount, just like women need testosterone.
Yes.
It balances. It's powerful for the brain. And then, of course, some of the other big myths are, you know, breast cancer, and is it going to cause heart attacks? And I thought hormones caused this or that. And those are really the ones that I spend a lot of time dispelling in the book.
Tell me about that one, because that's one that I almost learned reading in your book, about that big myth that estrogen is cancer feeding or will cause cancer if you go on hormone therapy. So many women have stopped that or won't even entertain that thought. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so in about the early 2000s, there's the largest research trial to date on women's health started, and that was the Women's Health Initiative trial. And they were looking at the whole reason they did it was because physicians had seen for decades that the women that were on estrogen hormone had much less heart attacks. So they wanted to prove that estrogen reduced heart attack risk. Mm. And they also wanted to look at the impact on breast cancer. The trial was stopped early, and there was two parts of the trial. It was a synthetic estrogen and a synthetic estrogen with a progestin, which is a synthetic progesterone. Well, the synthetic progestin arm, there were the breast cancer rates went up exponentially, heart disease rates, Alzheimer's disease rates. So they stopped the trial. But unfortunately, what happened was the media reported all hormones are bad and cause breast cancer and heart attacks and strokes. And it was really just that one arm. Mm. And so everybody kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. Physicians quit prescribing. Patients were flushing their toilet, you know, hormones down the toilet. And then a month later, you know, they were either literally suicidal or homicidal. They needed their hormones and they couldn't get them. And it was unfortunate. So all the studies now that have been coming out since 2004, so 20 years of data, we now see that, actually the estrogen arm of the trial was protective against heart attacks, Alzheimer's disease, breast cancer, and it was the progestin arm only. That progestin is the only hormone. And it's just going to take us so long to unravel from that misinformation that hormones aren't the problem. But I got to say a little bit more about that, because there's you know, there are some people that are more at risk for breast cancer. And we see these women that are doing the, you know, Angelina Jolie, if they have this BRCA positive, they're getting everything out and off. And that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with hormone metabolism, what's your diet like? And that's just something that we don't talk about in medicine. We're not talking about sugar and its impact on cancer. So just kind of don't want to throw that hormone baby out with the bathwater. We got to kind of look at everything that's going on in that individual.
Totally. Okay, so from your book, I wrote a couple of things down. Tell me myth or fact. Hormones have no impact on mental health.
Ugh, myth.
Total myth. Totally false. So it has everything to do with your mental health.
I can speak to that personally.
Can you? Well, how can you personally?
Well, besides all the patients, you know, that I've seen, but even when I first started in this space, I mean, I came from a hospitalist emergency medicine background and really became really disenchanted with kind of how we're doing medicine with just prescription. And when I started learning about hormones, it was pretty interesting. I started seeing depression and anxiety completely resolving in the majority of my patients, just with testosterone and progesterone only. And then myself, as I went through, I'm 57, I'll be 57 this year, and as I transitioned through these hormone changes myself, everything I'd heard my patients complain about, I was experiencing, and that really makes it personal, right? So depression and anxiety, those are big ones that people struggle with and don't have to. And then, of course, just memory. I mean, we know now estrogen plays a huge role in the brain and memory. It is.
I need more.
I need more. Seriously, that's how I kind of know sometimes when my estrogen's low. I'm like, where am I? Where's my car?
I run down the stairs, and I'm like, what am I doing down here? I need more estrogen.
So it's profound for mental health, and it's a big piece that's missing. We see more and more mental health providers coming through and becoming trained in hormone therapies because they are learning the impact it has on mental health.
So good. So important. Okay. Yeah. Hormones play a key role in gut health. Myth or fact?
Total fact.
Total fact.
And the gut plays a key role in hormones. It's a reciprocal situation.
Can we heal our gut?
We should be healing our gut. Our guts are pretty messed up pretty much as a country, just our food and just the lack of fiber and things like that. But it has everything to do with, you know, a lot of people are taking probiotics, but they don't really understand why they're taking probiotics.
I've got mine in me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's because I'm strengthening my gut?
Yeah, so we have good bacteria in the gut and bad bacteria in the gut. And probiotics feed the good bacteria so they grow, and the good bacteria eat the bad bacteria, right?
Okay.
But when you have an imbalance and you have more bad bacteria than good, these bad bacteria release these enzymes, these molecules really called lipopolysaccharides that cause a huge amount of inflammation in the body, but it also disrupts your hormone metabolism and can cause a lot of hormone issues.
So inflammation is a big deal too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to manage that and dealing with things in our gut. So I want to ask you about them probiotics. When I'm thinking about that, you know, should I take 30 million, billion, 40 million, billion is more better? Or is it also quality over quantity? Do I get the live ones at the store, or can I take a plant-based? I mean, maybe that's a whole nother show for
us. It's a whole nother show, boy.
And, you know, let me tell you, speaking of a whole nother show, you're going to love this, because we're going to, starting very soon, we're going to actually, every Wednesday, we're going to do a Wellness Wednesday.
Oh,
and maybe you can come back for that. We're
going
to dedicate it to that.
Whole show on gut.
Seriously. So maybe we'll bring you back for that.
Yes.
We'll have a conversation about
That'd be great.
But yeah, I mean, there's so much about our gut too. Mm-hmm. So if our gut is out of whack and not in balance, is it throwing off the hormones that I'm putting in my body right now?
It's throwing off the hormone metabolism for sure.
Okay.
And so no matter whether your body makes hormones or you're taking hormones, whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter. They're going to metabolize through the liver. And there are certain metabolites that are more cancer causing, that our body is beautifully designed to grab a hold of those and excrete them out through the bowels daily,
right?
But when we have an overgrowth of bad bacteria in our gut, those enzymes that are holding on to those to get rid of them get broken up, and those hormone metabolites get reabsorbed into the bloodstream. So when I was talking earlier about cancer, this is one of the things that's not really being looked at. It is in more progressive cancer, clinics, but the gut's role in that, and it does play a huge role in hormone metabolism.
So interesting. Okay, fact or myth. Testosterone therapy always leads to aggressive behavior in men.
That is a total myth.
It's a myth.
It's a myth.
So men can be out of balance also with their hormones.
Oh, absolutely.
So if women are watching right now and you feel like, I am going to scream, my marriage is at a brink right now, and my husband is not a nice man, could his hormones be out of whack?
100% he's probably has low testosterone. And right. I have to tell you, I just have to say this, because this is one of the things I hear all the time. My doctor said my hormones are normal.
Right. And oh my goodness, I hear it all the time too, because I'm in a range.
Right.
I'm in a range, but I'm not optimal.
Right. So that reference range, just so you know, is that specific lab that your practitioner used. It's an average of that lab's population of results. Right? So you've got a bell curve average. And what I tell people, and it's an average of really a lot of sick, unhealthy Americans, right?
Okay.
So you would always kind of want to be on the right side of that bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
So a male testosterone normal, and I don't even like the word normal, reference range is about 200 to about 1100. Well, what we know is when men have testosterone levels under 600, his risk for all cause of disease and death goes up.
Mm.
So why would I want to be on the left side of the bell curve? I want to be on the right side of the bell curve.
Yes.
And that's really important to understand about testosterone. But yes, men can actually, they get really grumpy. You know, the movie Grumpy Old Men,
yes.
Those guys just needed some testosterone.
Give them some testosterone.
They can get grumpy. With the myth about aggression and all of that comes from the anabolic steroid world, where those bodybuilders, they shoot their testosterone levels up really, really high, and it's with synthetic testosterone that can cause a lot of aggression and anger.
Yeah.
So it's all about the medication, the modality, and how high are your levels and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I love when you talk in your book about, you have so many great stories too, and you talk about a patient named Bobby, I think, that came in, that you treated her, and then she came in for a follow-up, and you asked how she was doing. She started crying, and you're like, oh no. But I love what happens after that.
Yeah, her husband was a retired gynecologist, and she told me when she got it together, I haven't liked my husband for 25 years, and she said, and I now know it was me and not him.
Wow.
And she really was lamenting the loss of time.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
He showed up 2 weeks later and said, before we get started, I just want to thank you for giving me my wife back. I can't tell you how many stories like that. And he also said, had I known about this therapy when I was practicing, I would have put every woman on it.
So interesting.
And it just, it was profound for their family, their daughters or patients, and it really is so important.
I believe it, Dr. Terry, and I feel it in my own life. You know, being on bioidentical hormones myself the last 6 months has been a huge change for me. I have felt better balance in my life. I felt clarity.
Clarity is huge.
Maybe some of the people here don't agree.
That's okay.
But, the brain fog, the clarity, the energy. I mean, I've always had a lot of energy, but I just feel like I feel more balanced.
Right.
And I think so many people just finally get to a place and just say, I have my life back.
Yeah, the zeal for life, the zest for life, the desire to get up and do what God designed you to do every single day.
Yes.
And that's what happens as we get older and we lose our hormones and we're on all these medications that are band-aiding, that have side effects. We just kind of, we don't really want to do the things that really God put us on this earth to do and bless other people with our gifts.
Absolutely. There's so much more we need to talk about, and we're running out of time. So please, I hope you come back, because I didn't even hit on thyroid.
I know.
Like, I wanted
it's
to talk about
talk too.
Many things. So please come back.
Yes, for sure.
Would love it. Your book has so much information in it, and I think we just touched the surface today. We're unpacking so many things. There's so much information in this book. I know you're going to want to get, and we want to get it to you. But first, I want you to take a minute and watch something that's really, really important to me. When I think about health, I think about these precious people that are fighting so hard for wellness and for health and are extremely limited But I believe that there's one amazing thing that we could at least do today to bring them better health and better wellness in their bodies. And I want you to see this and see how you could be a part of making that change for their lives.
So I'm here in Liberia. We're here speaking to these families about the loss that they are suffering because of the lack of clean drinking water. Many families have suffered from cholera and other waterborne illnesses. And I'm in the home of a young woman named Blessing today. Blessing's here with her brand new baby. So Blessing, I know that you lost a child. Tell me your baby's name that you lost.
Tom Morris.
Maurice, and do you know why he died? Now that you have this new baby, Cyrus, how do you give him water? What are you doing now? We know you need clean water. But if you could talk to my friends back home, what would you say to them to help prevent Cyrus's ever having to drink that dirty water again? Can we please make her generation the last generation that ever has to suffer from the lack of clean water? That we will be able to bring water for life to Blessings Village and villages just like Blessings all over the world. Because you have a dream. You have a prayer. It just simply takes us being like Jesus, being willing to make a sacrifice, to be a blessing.
Every day, these families are doing everything they can to try to find clean water, but it's simply not there. They'll scoop out what looks like the cleanest water, but in reality, it's just as contaminated as the rest. To them, it looks like hope, but it's a counterfeit, and it's especially making these little ones very sick. Their little bodies just can't process this dirty, unclean water. And the truth is, it's the only water source they have. And believe me, they're fully aware that with every sip they take, there's always that chance or that thought of death. But without it, they'll surely die. What horrible options that is. I can't even fully grasp the depth of the heartache that this kind of water brings to these villages, watching your children dying because of it. You know, this crisis is generational, and it can't change. It won't change unless help arrives. You and I together, we can help. We can help change that for them and for future generations to come by giving them access to clean water, life-giving water. But we have to act now to ensure that these children not only survive, but they thrive. And that entire community, all these communities, all these villages all around, that they're given a chance to flourish. I love when John asked Blessing, if she could talk to us here at home, what would she say? And she said, pray. The first thing she said was, pray. I love that she knows the power of prayer, powerful prayer, and prayer truly changes things. It has the power to transform hearts and inspire actions to help bring change. So my prayer today is that we would align ourselves with compassion and purpose and feel motivated to respond as God's people. And here's what that would look like. For $48, you can help provide safe, clean drinking water for 10 people for life. For $144, you can help provide water for 30 people. And for $4,800, you can help drill an entire well, which will, on average, provide water for a total of 1,000 people for life. This is the last week we'll be bringing this to you, the Water for Life emphasis. So let's give them real hope today by giving them real water for life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you possibly could give. You must know it's going to make an enormous impact in the lives of so many today. And remember, this is the last week we're doing Water for Life. So we'll be doing it throughout the whole year, but this is the last week. So please pick up the phone right now and make a call to us. And when you do, if you want this book, Hormone Havoc, just request it and we'll get it out to you right away. Dr. Terry, it's been so great to have you here. Please come back.
I will.
I absolutely love you.
Fun.
Your knowledge, it's just, it's wealth to all of us. It is priceless. Thank you so much. Like she said, being well doesn't happen naturally. It takes effort. It takes an action on our part. Each choice we make, from the food we eat to the thoughts we have to our relationships, it impacts our entire overall wellness. You are in the driver's seat. You get to choose the quality of your life. And what you're feeling might not be normal. So it might be time to find someone who's trained in these therapies to listen to you and give you some hope that there is some light at the end of the tunnel. I love that Jesus' desire for us is not merely to exist or to cope with our circumstances, but to live abundantly. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have life more abundantly." What a promise from God to you and to me and to Dr. Terry. Man, God wants us to live free and full and aligned with everything that He has for our lives, especially our wellness. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Tomorrow on Life Today, join Kathy Lee Gifford as she explores the interwoven lives of King Herod and Mary, Mother of Jesus.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.